Welcome to our continued study on our series of Knowing Your Bible. We have now come to the book of Ezra, and we need to have an understanding of the background in which this book is situated. And I have to repeat some of the history of the children of Israel so that we might appreciate this book of Ezra. Now, the history of Israel, basically, from Egypt to the Promised Land, was under the tutelage of Moses, who incidentally, in the plains of Moab, where he gave the book of Deuteronomy, which is actually a number of his sermons, his last sermons, he spoke of a time of great judgment in Israel that would come to pass, and essentially it came to pass through the Babylonians. And he spoke of a terrible siege. Now then, Joshua took them across into the Promised Land. He didn't cause them to inherit the whole. Then followed a period of the judges, 13 judges, and then Samuel the prophet, followed by the reign of King Saul, who apostatized, then succeeded by David, the faithful king, who was succeeded by Solomon, who had a good start but a poor ending. And then after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into the 10 tribes in the north, which apostatized, and then the 2 tribes in the south, called the kingdom of Judah. Now then, in 722-23 BC, Samaria was destroyed, which was the capital of the northern tribes of Israel. And faithful Judah continued under King Hezekiah, and then followed by another notable godly man, Josiah. But afterwards, his 4 successors completely apostatized, and idolatry, murder, covetousness, thieves were everywhere. And God said that he would destroy, indeed, the kingdom of Judah, Jerusalem, and the temple. This he did finally in 586 BC. But before that, through the lips of Jeremiah, he had declared that there would be a time of captivity in Babylon that would last some 70 years. And also Isaiah the prophet declared that God would raise up a shepherd, his shepherd called Cyrus, king of Persia, and he would make a declaration, the temple shall be rebuilt. Well, Daniel, who was in the captivity, the first captivity, the 3 captivities, captivity in the time of Jehoiakim, time of Jehoiachin, and the final one in Zedekiah. Well, Daniel understood these prophecies. And after Darius, the king of the Medes, had taken the kingdom, 3 years later, Cyrus became the king of Persia, and he gave the edict. And undoubtedly, Daniel must have talked to him and showed him the writings of Jeremiah the prophet and also Isaiah, where Isaiah clearly gave his name, that he would give that edict that the temple was to be rebuilt. And so, in his first year, Cyrus made that edict and gave the Jews their liberty to go back to Jerusalem. Well, a number did, and they were led by Zerubbabel, who was the son in the line, or grandson, in the line of Jehoiachin, and line of David, and of course the line of Christ. And Zerubbabel was the leader, the governor, and Joshua was the high priest. These two men led back what we might term the first restoration, the first restoration. And they came and they laid the foundation of the temple. Now, I want to now turn to the book of Ezra, and I want to say that there are basically six books that were written during this time of the restoration period, which starts with Zerubbabel and Joshua. And it's important. The books are essentially Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. They are what we might term the historical books. But also during this time, there were three prophets raised up. And the prophets' names are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So you have six books that were written concerning this restoration era. Well now, the book of Ezra is the book that we are looking at in this session. And this book itself is divided into two basic parts. And essentially, chapters 1 to 6 deal with this first restoration under Zerubbabel and Joshua, when the temple foundation was laid. But there was tremendous opposition from those around who did not want, of course, this temple to be rebuilt, did not want the Jews to prosper. They were the Samaritans. They were, if I could say this, people that had been put there from other nations in the deportation of Ashurbanipal and Esarhaddon, the Assyrian kings. And they did not want the Jews to come back, and they did not want the Jews to prosper, and they certainly did not want a temple to be rebuilt. And so they succeeded for a considerable period of time, in fact about 16 years. And it was only in the days of Darius that God raised up Haggai and Zechariah, those two prophets, and they started to prophesy and encourage the people to resume the building of the temple, of which only the foundation existed. And they were contested, but they pleaded their cause to Darius the First, who is now king of Persia, with the result that Darius had the archives searched, and they found this edict of Cyrus, and Darius the First confirmed it, and so they finished the temple. They finished the temple. Now, that basically is Ezra chapter 1 to chapter 6. Now, after that, there's a gap, a historical gap, in which the book of Esther is written. And the book of Esther is one that we will look at in a couple of sessions after this one. And that period occupied the reigns of, if I could say this, of the Persian kings down to Xerxes, who is basically the fourth king. Very rich man. Now, after that period, after Xerxes has passed away, we now have what is called the second return. The second return. And the second return is under the guidance of Ezra. Under the guidance of Ezra. And that occupies the rest of the book, 7 to 10 chapters. And we want to look at those chapters because they're very important indeed. So I hope we have, you know, laid the foundation for the understanding of this book. Chapters 1 to 6 deal with the first return under Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, and they show the tremendous battles that the church and Christianity has. When God gives a commandment, the enemy rises up. And so often the case is this, that the people say, well, it's not the time. It's not the time to go ahead with this vision. And that's so often the case with the people of God. They get very discouraged. And, you know, leadership has to rally the people and say, no, look, God spoke, let us go ahead. You see, let us go ahead. And I think every leader has experienced that. You know, the thought is, well, it's not the time for God to move. It's not the time to fulfill what God said. And yet the prophets come on the scene and they encourage the people and said, look, you're dwelling in your houses, you're looking after yourself. But what about the temple of God, you see? And then the prophetic utterances cause the people to finish the temple. All right, the physical building is now there. But obviously the physical building is not everything. You can have a glorious building, you can have a glorious church building, but the whole purpose of a church, the whole purpose of a temple is that God dwell in his temple. And so now we have the second return. This is after the time of Esther. And we have a new king, and his name is Ahasuerus. And I beg your pardon, Artaxerxes, who comes after Xerxes, or Ahasuerus, as his scriptural name is given. Xerxes is his Greek name. But now Artaxerxes is on the throne, and his stepmother is Esther, and so he's very well disposed, if I could say this, to the demands and requests of the Jews. So we're introduced now to Ezra. Now, we're told about this very beautiful man of whom the Jews referred to as the second Moses, that he studied God's law, and he studied and practiced it. He was the teacher of the restoration period. And I think this is so important, you know, because whilst we have many ministries that have arisen in the church, I think it's well nigh time now for teachers of righteousness to arise. In fact, Joel chapter 2 and verse 23 makes this promise that when God pours forth his spirit in these last days, he will give teachers of righteousness, teachers of righteousness. And what a wonderful model Ezra is, a holy man given to the erudite study of God's word. And you see, so important is this, that he not only learnt it, but practiced it and taught it. Can we go through those three steps? He studied it, he practiced it, and he taught it. And those are three steps that we need to have in our life those of us who are called to be teachers, in fact, really everybody's called to be a teacher, either in your family, because in Hebrews 5:12 it says, when ye ought to be teachers, when you ought to be teachers. Well, he's not speaking just of the ministry gift of teaching, but he's speaking that the church should be a teaching church. And so every one of us should study God's word. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, study to show thyself a man approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God. He actually says, study to show thyself a workman. It's hard work studying, hard work studying. You know, even at my age of 80, I have to continually study the word of God, because the word of God is eternal. And you know, you can never know on this earth, never appreciate on this earth all the wonderful truths that are hidden in that glorious book, the Bible. Well, Ezra, therefore, is in the capital city of the Persian Empire and well known to the king. And he makes a request unto the king that he might go to Jerusalem and teach the people the ways of God, the laws of God. Artaxerxes, who could well have been the stepson of Esther, you know, his heart is inclined unto the things of the Jews. He gives permission. He gives permission for Ezra to go. And he not only does that, but he gives all the vessels, you know, the house of God that Nebuchadnezzar had taken, gives them to Esther, entrusts them to Esther, and gives a bountiful donation, if I could say that, to help Ezra on his way. He gives him an escort. And so Ezra comes to Jerusalem, and to his horror, he finds the situation, you know, amongst the people to be less than satisfactory, in fact, to be quite ungodly. And so he spends his time teaching the ways of God. Now, the point that I want to bring out here is this, that this book shows us the dealings of God. You know, before anything can be done, really, we have to have those who are ministers, those who are able to explain to the people the ways of God. You know, to have a building is wonderful. And incidentally, this restoration building was nothing like the Temple of Solomon. It was apparently quite plain, because when it was eventually, you know, the foundation was there, those who had not seen the previous Temple of Solomon just leapt for joy. But those who had seen it wept, because the restoration temple was nothing like the original temple. And you know, the Old Testament illustrates the New Testament. And what do we see in all this? Well, it almost portrays the church age to a certain extent. The glory of God that was revealed on the day of Pentecost, the marvelous miracles, you know, the wonderful teachings there. And then, you know, from those New Testament days, you know, it dwindled down. And I want to say this, and it's very important indeed, and to give you an idea of the importance of keeping to the pattern. You know, Cologne Cathedral was built in 1200 odd AD. And there, the master architect laid out all his plans for this marvelous building, this marvelous cathedral. And he laid the foundation. But you know that Cathedral of Cologne was not finished until 1880. I think something like 660 years. But the interesting thing was this, that all succeeding architects who were used to do their part in building up this cathedral, they went back to the original plans of Master Gerard, who was the original architect. And so the finished cathedral was exactly according to the plans of the original architect. Now, the reason I say that is this. In the New Testament period, you see, there was a plan for the church. But those who followed, the great teachers that followed, like Augustine, Jerome, and so forth, they put, as it were, their backs to the New Testament period and developed their own thoughts concerning the church. The result was disastrous. The church went into what is termed the Dark Ages, in what is called the Middle Age of 1400, 1500, and so forth. And then, gradually, you know, through Martin Luther, John Wesley, the church was brought out from those Dark Ages and brought back, as it were, to the original pattern, salvation by faith, holiness, and then the Pentecostal movement, you see. It was bringing it back to the original pattern of the church. Now that is essentially is what Ezra did. He taught the law. He brought the people back to the original pattern. He taught the people the ways of God. He brought out, you know, the law and explained the law to them. And then he dealt with the problem of all the mixed marriages and so forth. And I just want to mention that too. How important it is for Christians to marry Christians who have the same vision as themselves. Because, you know, we learn from Solomon. You know, if you marry those who are not Christian, you're going to get turned away from the things of God. How important a good marriage is. And that is what Ezra was dealing with in his book. The fact that the Jews had corrupted themselves through making wrong marriages. And I want to encourage you, you know, that one of the things that's so important in life is your life partner, one who has the same vision. You know, my wife was American, I was British, and we met in Switzerland. But God had given a promise to my wife that he would give her a man with the same vision. The result was we saw everything alike. And we fulfilled by the grace of God during our time together that which God had intended for us to do. Now she's in heaven enjoying the glories of God. But you see, if I'd married someone who had not gotten the same vision, I would not be where I am today. And so that was one of the great messages, if I could say that, you know, the book of Ezra. Ezra brought the people back to the original pattern. And yet, the temple virtually was nothing like the temple of Solomon. It was a very poor, if I could say that, pattern of the original. But nonetheless, the teachings were brought back to the right pattern. And in this day in which we're living, you know, God is speaking so much concerning the fact that we must be a Bible pattern church. We must indeed receive the teachings of the Christ and his apostles. And these teachings like, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. God is looking forward to the time, you know, when his church, when he will bring his church, of course, to maturity and perfection, filled with glory and filled with power. And so we need teachers like Ezra who study, practice, and teach the ways of God. You know, there's a wonderful promise to teachers of righteousness. And I'd like to look at it as we close this session, because my hunger and thirst is to raise up teachers of righteousness. And I just want you to see the tremendous rewards there are for those who will be like Ezra. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, you know, and verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want you to be a teacher of righteousness like Ezra, and study, practice, and teach the ways of God. And in so doing, you'll have a wonderful place in the kingdom of God. And your reward will be to see the church move back to the original pattern of the days of the New Testament. May God bless you and make you a teacher of righteousness.